Welcome to Transition, Gareth 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about a small game that no one has ever heard of by an indie studio which is struggling and not making enough money. It's called Red Dead Redemption 2. So to talk about that, we have our games editor, Rishi Alwani.
Wait, I thought we were going to be talking about Fez, but okay, fine, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Alright, in no less controversial terms, maybe friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madnani, will introduce himself.
But we should be talking about 420 at Shibuya Scramble. That's the more important game September.
More like outlaw of the podcast instead of friend of the podcast. But yeah.
Outlaws for life.
I'm your host, Pranay Parab, and I'm not going to be doing any talking on this episode.
Why?
What? Because...
Wait, are you still playing Persona 5 and going to sleep?
Still disappointed at what happened with Red Dead Redemption 2 and Asia. So, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, before we get into that topic... Red Dead Redemption 2 is out this week. By the end of this week, Friday, on the time this is recorded, yeah, we should have Red Dead Redemption 2. For those of you who are unaware, it's the sequel to Red Dead Redemption, which was released in 2010, for the Xbox 360 and PS3. And yes, before you ask, the original Red Dead Redemption never made it to PC. And a part of the reason for that was that, The development cycle for Red Dead Redemption.
Two reasons, actually. One is what you're going to say.
Yeah, the development cycle for Red Dead Redemption was exceptionally haphazard and messed up to the point where the game almost didn't ship. And when it shipped and actually did as well as it did, it took everyone, including Rockstar, by surprise. However, it seems that the code wasn't in any way usable to make for a PC release, it seems.
I'm pretty sure that's just the reason which people are assuming was a thing. If Rockstar actually wanted, they could give it a blue point or something to get it done on PC or even on PS4 or Xbox. The big reason is obviously PC is not a focus for Rockstar. PC has never been a focus for Rockstar. Rockstar's always been either one console or both consoles first. And they put it on PC when they've nearly finished making money on the consoles. If we look at literally everything released from them, maybe outside Max Payne franchise.
Yeah, and
even Table Tennis hasn't shown up. Midnight Club hasn't shown up.
Yeah, and a lot of it also has to do with the fact that when the original PlayStation and PlayStation 2 were a thing, Rockstar supported them wholeheartedly. In fact, that a lot of it also had to do with the support Rockstar got from Sony. And that's also why we had GTA 3, GTA San Andreas and Vice City, all of them hitting PlayStation 2 first. And during last gen, they cut a deal with Microsoft for GTA 4. Which saw the Xbox 360 not only get the DLC first as a timed exclusive. So point is, they're not exactly so pro PC or as pro PC as they should be. What's interesting though is people have seen LinkedIn bios of LinkedIn profiles of Rockstar employees who are allegedly working on the PC version. So there is talk that we might see the Red Dead Redemption 2 come to PC at least, though no date obviously has been given at this point in time. Now, what's interesting is that despite being called Red Dead Redemption 2, it's a prequel to Red Dead Redemption. And a lot of it has to deal with you playing as Arthur Morgan, who is a member of a gang of outlaws. And they've been, and after a heist gone wrong, they find themselves on the run. That's the basic premise.
So, can I play Red Dead Redemption 2 first and then go and play Red Dead Redemption 1?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Well, I feel good about skipping on Red Dead Redemption 1 until now.
Why? It has a good soundtrack and a good, at least I can talk only by playing the first 10 hours, but yeah, it was really good. But there's no radio on the horse, man. Come on. But how do you have a Rockstar open world game without music while driving or riding?
It's called using the Spotify app on your console.
Is that even a thing on Xbox?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Wow. Maybe they've region locked that like every other indie game, but we'll get to that in another episode.
Yeah, so anyway, point is, it's basically a prequel, which is why I find it odd that they're calling it Red Dead Redemption 2. But, I mean, considering how Red Dead Redemption ended, it's pretty obvious that the only way they could go from a story standpoint was do a prequel. And a lot of it also has to do with the fact that if you notice the way they've talked about the setting, right? It's an age where cowboys are going out of existence, where the US government is slowly encroaching on what was the Wild West and trying to civilize it. So it's a pretty it's a setting that again is a little familiar to the last game. But it makes sense to go with a prequel considering what happened in the last game. That aside, it's not even the first game in the Red Dead series. There's Red Dead Revolver that was actually published by Capcom and made by developed by Rockstar. That was for the Xbox, original Xbox and PS2. And I don't think they released it on GameCube. No, I don't think they did.
No, it was just on these two. And yeah. It's not even backward compatible on the Xbox One through the original yet.
Yeah, it is, however, accessible on PS4 via the PS2 classics. But point is, yeah, it's a kind of a relic, but it's basically a simple third person shooter, something, you know, just worth checking out to see where the origins of the franchise lay. All in all, though, we've seen a healthy bit of gameplay surrounding Red Dead since its initial reveal two years and two months ago. And, you know, it all started with Rockstar teasing a new game with just Red. And before you know it, we get a gameplay, we see an actual trailer, and they've kind of drip-fed us with what to expect. We've been seeing gameplay for a better part of this year. We've seen what editions are coming out as well. And while all this is fine and dandy, and it's just a part of the usual PR machine and the usual marketing machine you'd expect with a big budget PC, with a big budget console and PC release, in this case, console only, sorry, is the thing that's actually stoked my interest is the fact that we had 24 seconds of leaked gameplay footage that, for me at least, did more than anything else Rockstar's put out there.
In what sense?
In what sense? Because you actually see what the game looks like. It looks real, firstly.
I mean, we've seen gameplay.
But this gameplay, see, the thing is...
Okay, so I get it.
If there's gameplay from a publisher and gameplay from
I get that. Because none of the preview events which happened, not including India, obviously, because India's not a priority from the looks of things... all the preview events, none of them had footage of their own. Is that your point, right? Like, yeah. We've not seen non-Rockstar approved footage yet, except for this quote-unquote leak.
Yeah, and honestly, it looks good. I mean, it's running on a PS4, most possibly a PS4 Pro. But, I mean, yeah, you can see how the animations are. You can see how the gunplay is. There's a kill cam, which is pretty interesting. So it actually turns in a different... takes different angles when you're precise with your shots, and to me it's done more than the rest of the footage we've seen because it's not controlled. It looks real, and that's also because a lot of it has to do with the fact that publishers this generation have doubled down on the smoke and mirrors. I mean, we saw it with Ubisoft and the Division when you actually had quote unquote downgrades through and through each reveal. Same with Watch Dogs, right? And we've had other publishers do similar things. I mean, and it's not just related to graphics. Even in terms of gameplay, I mean, if you look at Black Ops 4, during the beta, we had proper 60Hz servers. Now they're down to 20Hz. So, you know, it's nice to see some honest-looking footage of what you can expect. And, for those of you listening in, this game has pretty much earned its 18 rating. There are some very gory kills, like hands get blown off, decapitations are definitely the order of the day. And that's something people should keep in mind. This is definitely not a game that's for anyone under the age of... I mean, at least the rating on the box, go with that.
Okay, then. So, I think we've seen some leaked footage a little while ago. I think yesterday I saw that clip where your wanted level kind of rises.
Yeah.
That sort of reminded me of GTA, you know, where you go from, I don't know...
You can't type leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the point is...
We don't know if there'll be cheats, by the way. It's unlikely. GTA 5 had them, I remember. You could do some stuff, but it disabled achievements and trophies. I don't know if Red Dead Redemption had them.
No, as far as I know, Red Dead didn't. Okay. I could be wrong, but then I won't be surprised to see cheats in Red Dead Redemption 2. That does seem like a likely possibility, simply because if you look at how haphazard development was on Red Dead Redemption 2 development was on Red Dead Redemption 1 versus Red Dead Redemption 2, I mean, I won't be surprised if cheats do make their way into this
game. Then the thing is, like, we're now in an era where publishers are selling you stuff which would earlier be cheats, like in Ubisoft's case. Like, you know, people, if they want invulnerability or people who want, like, you know, more money, you just put a cheat, like, back in the good old days. Now you have to pay for these things. There's been no mention of whether RDR2 has any of this. We just know that there's, like, 60, 80, and 100, or in India's case, 4,000, 50, 200, and 6,500 rupee editions. But there's been no mention of, like, you know, other stuff. GTA Online had shark cards. There's almost 100% going to be something like that for Red Dead Online. But what about the single-player mode?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what we're unaware of at this stage, how the economy scales. Because games like Assassin's Creed Odyssey, games like Assassin's Creed Origins, Black Flag as well, they actually had a very weird kind of progression system where if you didn't grind, you ended up having to, you know, either you grind and you do all the side quests, or you end up paying to level up faster. And that felt really acute in Black Flag. And that was kind of present even in Origins. In Odyssey, they kind of like made the grind a lot more gradual. It didn't feel like a grind.
And they actually made the side quests really good.
Yeah,
you still cannot do only the main story in Odyssey. That you cannot play the game like that.
Yep.
It's not been designed like that. Whether that's in Red Dead 2, it remains to be seen, because like none of us have played it yet.
Yeah, right now we are unaware on how the progression would work in Red Dead Redemption 2. So the wanted meter, though, which Pranay brought up, yeah, that's a thing. It's something which was there even in the last game. And long story short, if you end up messing around with NPCs too much, they will even remember what you've done. So you'll have a situation in the game where you could be passing through a countryside, and if you see a house being half made, when you come back again later in the game, you'll see it ready. Or if early on in the game you do something to an NPC, you say something to an NPC, or you, I don't know, kill off one of their relatives, they'll remember that and they'll make sure they come for you when the time is right. So it has those elements of what I'd say borrowing from real world dynamics.
Hmm.
And incorporating it into a game. And it'll be interesting to see how it all comes together. That being said, I mean, there's a lot of... The way Rockstar seems to have positioned this game is, from a gameplay standpoint, seems to be this living, breathing, emergent world where people remember what you do, where how you do things differs. So you can actually have a non-violent approach to things. You can have a violent approach to things. You can even, like, for example, for a bank heist, right? You can either quietly get it done, or you can, you know, bring the whole posse together and take it in a bloody coup. So that's possible.
Yeah, so what I want to see is whether you can do things like what you could do in Skyrim, which is like take a pot and put it on somebody's head and then like proceed with stealing everything in their house and them not coming to know.
I don't think that'll be the thing. That'll be the case, because GTA 5 didn't have interactivity to that extent. They had like a very populated world where you could like almost go anywhere in the world, but... Like, if you think about it, Yakuza actually did more, like, made the open world more immersive than Rockstar, because in Yakuza Kiwami 2 and 6, you could actually walk up staircases, go into offices and just, like, you know, throw stuff around, push people into the desks and stuff like that. Even fight people inside, they follow you up the stairs. That's not the case in, at least GTA 5 didn't have that. Now, obviously, the Yakuza games are on, like, a much, much smaller, more, I'd say, more intimate setting compared to a huge open world, so it remains to be seen. But... the end game should ideally be a world the size of what Rockstar can do, with the interactivity of what Yakuza does with, you know, objects and going into stores and like screwing shit up over there, stuff like that.
Okay. So another thing I'm looking forward to is the memes that are generated thanks to this game because of, you know, some memorable dialogue, etc. With every big open world release, we have some of these things. We saw them with Witcher 3, we saw them with Skyrim. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then the wanted level that we mentioned earlier in that video. So one thing that really struck out to me was that I think there was some policemen that were coming to investigate
the lead character.
So this guy proceeds to go and kill those two sheriffs, and then suddenly his wanted level goes up to like wanted for murder or something. So
unfortunately, I don't think here when it goes up to level 4, tanks are going to come because they want to
think
there.
Exactly.
There'll be armored trains, okay?
Yeah, and the funny thing was in that video, it was like, you know, bounty is $185. I'm like, okay, I find it a little hard to relate to this.
Why? Is it because it's like a little more expensive than the ultimate edition of the game?
Exactly. But what I thought was that maybe, you know, like if you do, like whatever, if you commit a murder and there are no witnesses, then how are you wanted?
Yeah, that's what I found interesting as well.
It's always been the case with their games, though.
Yeah, but then if you consider how they've been stressing on realism and how they've been stressing things, to me, the only possibility is that, considering how limited footage it was, there's a possibility that there were witnesses off screen.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. But you know, what I really want to see is this game, since they've said that now there's going to be night and day, and like characters will react differently at night and streets will become more shady and all that. So, yep. You know, what if somebody commits a crime in the dark of night in some corner of the world where nobody's there? Will you still be like framed in that, or like will you still be accused in that?
I mean, that's the whole thing, right? We come to know when it's out, but yeah. I think... they would have thought about these edge cases, because one of the things that does tend to happen with huge games like this is that you have developers thinking of edge cases like this. You have testers trying to break the game in such situations. What's fascinating though is, and in fact, speaking of testers and edge cases, a part of the game was made in India. So Rockstar has collaborated slash bought out slash done stuff with a Bangalore-based company called Technicolor. And there is essentially a lot of the work on Red Dead Redemption 2 that's happening there, I think, in terms of art and testing. So that's good to know that, you know, it seems to be a global thing where, according to some interviews, there have been over 10 studios at Rockstar working on it, Technicolor slash Rockstar India being one of them. And speaking of that, in terms of development, what's fascinating is that there was an interview a couple of weeks back which talked about the game having a 100-hour crunch, and basically where people have been working over, you know, extended periods of time just to ship the game on time. And what's been happening here is that that ended up bringing up the debate, right? That should you support a developer who makes their employees crunch?
Yeah, but like they later clarified that, you know, it was for the last 3 weeks and just the top team and all that. I don't know if I believe those accounts.
The big problem, like the big inconsistency I've seen is first, it was revealed in like one of the first big interviews for the game which has ever happened, like for the game in general, the making of Red Dead Redemption 2 on Vulture, right?
Yeah, so Vulture and New York Mag, both pieces were penned by Harold Goldberg, who's been a long time video game critic based in New York. But to me, what is interesting is that when you're being told, why didn't you clarify that? Like, if you're being told by Dan, or I think yeah, Dan Houser, if you're being told by him that that they worked 100-hour weeks, why didn't you clarify that? Why does it have to end up being this gigantic snowball where everyone has to get their own independent confirmations from Rockstar? I mean, if you're doing a story which you claim you've worked on for months and months on end, I mean, it would have made sense to clarify that, particularly in a day and age where crunch is an issue. I mean, and it's not the first time we've seen this. Earlier in the generation, Crytek, the guys who made, well, you know, Crysis, and whom even made Rise Son of Rome, they had an infographic out talking about how their team worked so hard to make Rise Son of Rome, and they talked about how long they crunched. And that's in bad taste. At the end of the day, it's a situation where you don't want consumers to feel guilty about buying a game. But then that's one way of looking at it. The other way, and more likely, given how much Rockstar leans on data and research. So yeah, you had Crytek who had this infographic talking about, you know, how hard they crunched on the game and how many pizzas were ordered during crunch. And I mean, one way of looking at it is you don't want to make people feel guilty about buying a game by you know, letting these things be known. But the other side of it, and most likely, given how Rockstar operates and their dependency on data and research, is that they purposely let the statement out because they know their audience doesn't care.
I think it's not about their audience not caring. It's about their audience saying, wow, look how much effort they've put into the game. I'm pretty sure it was because of that. Because there's no way the statement was let loose without knowing what might happen after it.
Yeah,
like things did happen and Rockstar did lax their... they told their employees, you can now talk about how the work conditions are. And a lot of them started saying positive things that, like, it's not forced and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, so that's the thing. That was really interesting to me that, obviously, that statement about 100 working 100 hours had to be vetted by someone at Rockstar Corpcom. That always happens. But then again, we've had situations in our interviews with game developers and studios where comments which apparently have been vetted by Corpcom get published, and we get calls saying that, hey, take it down. We're like, no, this has been vetted, right? We're not taking anything down. It's happened. So there's the one way of looking at it. Yeah, there is a possibility of it being that there's oversight. The second thing, which is Rockstar, yeah, has been going on the charm offensive since. And I think a lot of it has to do with the backlash towards working 100-hour weeks. We've had they have relaxed their social media policies for employees, and employees have been saying good things about it. At the same time, though, one of Rockstar studios, I think the Lincoln Studio, has said that crunch has been removed. But what's interesting in them saying crunch has been removed is that they said it's optional. Now, that's the problem in a work environment where you say things like crunch are optional, because it means if you want to succeed, you still have to crunch, right?
Yeah.
So, that's a very odd situation.
Yeah, I mean, but still, like, you know, it's, I guess, during release time, pretty much every game studio would be something like this.
Yeah, I mean, some of them embrace it. We've had situations where companies like Naughty Dog embrace it. Mm. We've had CD Projekt Red do it over extended periods of time for The Witcher 3. Mm. It seems to be a part and parcel of the business. But at the end of the day, it also has its effects. We've had situations where you've had very irate developers, good talent leave studios. Mm. There's a reason why you have a very high attrition rate in a lot of the Western studios because of situations like this. Meanwhile, if you compare it to, let's say, the work style of Nintendo, or if you look at how the Japanese studios function, they don't seem to have it that bad. Again, seems to. We don't know for sure. Mm. But it just seems that the approach to game development seems to be a lot more haphazard in the West. It just seems to be that way. And I think a lot of it also has to do with the fact that it's easier for us to know what's going on. With Red Dead Redemption 1, there was the whole drama around what was known as the Rockstar Spouses List, where there were four comments made about how hard crunch was around the game. Same situation happened around Max Payne. So it seems to be a thing with Rockstar as well, right? Where they don't have the greatest reputation for this. Now, as a consumer, is this something you should be aware of? Yes, you should. Is this something that should influence your purchase? Well, that's a double-edged sword. Because on one hand, if you buy the game, you're supporting crunch. If you're not buying the game, well, you're making sure that you probably never get a sequel or support that's needed for great games going forward. So it's just something to keep in mind that, yeah, this is a thing and this happens.
Right then. So do you want to talk about what happened to the reviews situation?
Yes. So for those of you who are unaware, Rockstar has not given any review codes for the game to Asian or Indian outlets. So those in Singapore, those in India don't have access to the game. A lot of this has to do, from what we've been told, has to do with Rockstar's quote-unquote policy, which I find to be absolute garbage, because when Rockstar's parent company, 2K, wants to go to town letting everyone know WWE is great, they do that. So I just feel it's discriminatory, but that's just me. That's just my opinion that I think it's discriminatory. I don't speak for this podcast, these people on the podcast, or my employer when I say that I think it's discriminatory. It's my personal opinion that Rockstar is being discriminatory. It's a weird scene. So the only reviews you're going to see are cherry-picked ones from the US and from US and Europe on launch day. That's just the, you know, part and parcel of business. That's how they want to go about it. Good for them. But what's more interesting is the fact that we may see a delay of the game in India. And this won't be the first time. With past Rockstar releases, with GTA 4, GTA 4, GTA 5, and even Red Dead Redemption 1, there were release day issues. With GTA 4, India got it 2 weeks late because India wasn't a high priority market, so Rockstar conveniently decided not to ship India's quantity. Yes, that happened on the PS3 and Xbox 360. With GTA 5 on PS3 and Xbox 360, there was a clause which made sure that copies of the game could not ship till a very specific date. And because of that clause, Flipkart, which was at the time, had the largest number of pre-orders for GTA 5 on PS3 360.
I think around that time, Amazon was still not as big as it is now.
Amazon wasn't a thing at that time. Yeah, so Amazon wasn't even in India at that time. So they had the largest order quantity for GTA 5 on PS3.
And there was also some drama with pre-order bonuses over there where Flipkart promised some gift or something, which was supposed to be a pendant or something, but they didn't take permission from Rockstar's distributor over here or Rockstar for this. So in the end, they ended up refunding everyone 500 rupees or something like that, and a lot of people who order the special edition. So at the time, there was just standard edition, which was your normal game, which reversible cover and a map. The special edition, which had all this in addition to a steelbook, and I think it had a blueprint poster or something like that about some treasures, locations, or something like that. A lot of people who ordered that ended up getting orders cancelled and just getting the standard edition.
Well, welcome to India and how things work here.
So that's the fascinating thing. So there was a clause there. There was a contract with a clause that stated that copies can't ship till the day or a day prior. And the end result of this is, because the game was out in September, there was Ganesh Chaturthi and other festivities around. The distributor knows all this. The distributor knows there are logistics issues. But at the end of the day, it's not like they only told Flipkart late. and Flipkart couldn't ship on time, and there were a lot of angry customers. A lot of them got it 3, 4, 5, even a week late because of this. And a lot of it has to do with the communication, right? So a Rockstar's distributor here isn't exactly the best at communicating what's going down. And that happened with GTA 5 on a colossal scale. There was a lot of negative publicity around that. And it seems to be the same situation for Red Dead Redemption 2. We're saying this simply because on the basis of two things. One, we've had retailers tell consumers that according to quote-unquote special instructions from Rockstar, they will not be able to ship the game until release date. What this basically means is if you've pre-ordered the game, yeah, you're pretty much not getting it on time. Unless you're in Mumbai, because the distributor for the game, eExpress, has one warehouse only in the country, and it's in Mumbai. And therefore, if you're in Mumbai, there's a chance you'll get it on day one. Everyone else will have to wait at least a minimum a day more, if not more than that. And given how things work in India, you're looking at least 2 days. So Monday, Tuesday is when you can probably expect the game. The second thing to keep in mind is, so that one part is yes, we've had retailers tell consumers this. Second thing is that if we look at how Rockstar's behaved in the past with GTA 5, yeah, there's a good chance there is a clause in place to prevent shipping on time. So long story short, if you've pre-ordered the game and you're expecting it day one, chances are you're better served walking into a store and picking up a copy, or as much as I hate to say it, pick it up digitally.
But then there's like a near 100 gig download depending on the platform.
Yep.
So that's... And depending on how your PlayStation handles downloads or... Yes. Whether you're wired or not, it'll really affect how long it takes to download this thing.
So it's a messy situation regardless how you cut it. But that's something to keep in mind. The other thing to keep in mind is it's kind of obvious we're not a priority market for Rockstar, which is why this is happening. Because if you compare it to what's happening in the US and other markets, GameStop and Best Buy, for example, are selling the game a day early. So a day early, you can walk into a on the 25th of October in the US, you can walk into a GameStop or a Best Buy and pick up your copy of the game. Meanwhile, in India, you'd be lucky if you get it day one. So I mean, it's evident that Rockstar essentially has seen what Sony India is doing and is like, yeah, hold my beer, we're gonna do one worse. So yeah, that, and to me, that's it's stuff like this that makes me wonder if it makes sense to even support such games where, you know, fine, you have your own internal issues with crunch, but then if you're going to make sure things aren't available when they should be, if you're not treating a market with respect, how do you expect people to, you know, reciprocate? But that seems to be a thing. And that's something a lot of consumers, even readers, have emailed us asking if the game's delayed or not. To be honest, it seems like it's going in that direction.
Right then. So moving on to slightly less depressing things. The games we've been playing this week. Once again, I didn't play anything. So Mike, take it away. I was like out roaming around in the real world, you know,
so
playing
Pokemon
a game.
Go.
I was playing Forza Horizon 4 in real life.
But seasons don't change in Mumbai.
They do.
No, what? It goes from 35 degrees to winter 34 degrees.
Yeah, exactly, man. Like it went from like peak summer to winter in like 1 degree.
But was your life checkerboarded? Anyway, before we get... Yeah, like forget it. So not played anything disappointing. Been playing a lot of stuff, mostly. So you remember Pranay and I have discussed Million Onion Hotel on iOS and Android. So the same developer released a game on Switch, which is also coming to PC end of this month, called Blackbird, which is a shmup. It's like a horizontal shoot 'em up where you play as a blackbird shooting and destroying everything. It's pretty, I'd say like it's the Nier Automata of shmups, basically, in terms of how it screws with your mind. Really, really good, plays really well. Not finished the game entirely till like there's a secret thing you unlock after you finish the game, which apparently has more story. I've not finished that bit yet, but really, really good. If you like games like Danmaku Unlimited 3, which is also on Switch and PC and mobile, look into this. Been playing both WWE and Fire Pro Wrestling. WWE is actually competent this year, but Fire Pro Wrestling, way better wrestling game. Still enjoying that. Downloaded more creations, stuff like that. Story mode isn't all there, but the actual gameplay is like really, really, really fantastic. If you like the PS2 era WWF games, then yeah, you need to look into this basically. It just released recently on PS4 and on India PSN. Not coming to India because no distributor, but yeah, keep that in mind. Basically that.
Yeah, in my case, I've been playing, no, I'm not playing Red Dead Redemption 2, sadly. But I have been playing a lot of Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty on the Xbox One via backwards compatibility. And wow, the game still holds up. It holds up so well.
Yeah, because you still remember what day it is today.
Now's not the time for memes around one of the greatest games ever. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of that. But I think I'm halfway through. But yeah, I've been playing that. And a lot of the story is still relevant. The gameplay still holds up. The controls take a bit of getting used to. But it's still very, very good. So I've been playing that. And I've been playing a bit of Black Ops 4 multiplayer every now and then just to see how it's been holding up. And I mean, yeah, it's fun and all. But yeah, I still wish it had a single player campaign. So that's what
Blackout single player campaign got blacked out.
Well played.
Anyway, that's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And you can also send us an email at podcast@gadgets360.com. The music of the show comes via Magnus Solai Paulsen, whose album PPP, PPP is where the tracks are from. And finally, if you like the show, please do subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, or Google Podcasts on your iPhone, or iTunes on your computer, or whatever other app you use. And if you subscribe, please also rate us. Your ratings, your reviews, your subscriptions, all of these help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you with another episode next week.